All right, well, let me pray for us. Lord, we hope we honor you telling these stories about how awesome you are. We love you, Lord. You are just awesome. Thank you, Father, that you love us and that you care about us. You care about what happens to us. You care about all these people, Lord. You're taking care of all these people. And Holy Spirit, we know you live inside of us and that wherever we are, there you are. I know that you like to teach us and train us and help us learn things. So we welcome your ministry tonight, that we would see things in a new way, have a greater understanding. Anywhere our thinking is off, we welcome you to come and correct it. We invite you to minister to us and through us. We bless you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we talked about gifts of the Spirit last week. We didn't have a long time to do it. I'm going to review some of the stuff from last week and get a little bit more into that tonight. We're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, if anybody doesn't have a Bible, let Skipper know. He'll hook you up. Anybody else need one? Okay. First Corinthians chapter 12. Yep. Again, some of this is going to be reviewed from last week, but to me, the foundational pieces I'm going to be talking about tonight help so much. And understanding how these things work and can keep you out of confusion and out of error in a lot of ways. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now in your Bible, some Bibles in here, do you have the word gifts in italics? Does anybody have that? You do? Does anybody know what that means when it's in italics?
They added it.
They added it. The translators added it to help us understand what's being said. What they think it says, yes. So sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it's 50-50. The word here is that's translated spiritual gifts is the word pneumatikos, which means spiritual matters, spiritual expressions, spiritual things. So it could say, "Now concerning spirituals," but that wouldn't make sense to us in English. "Now concerning spiritual expressions," that would make more sense. But if we, as we read through this chapter and get the point that the author, Paul, is trying to make, a better translation here, I believe, would be "now concerning the different ways the Holy Spirit expresses himself." Or "now concerning the expressions of the Holy Spirit." Because what we're going to be talking about here tonight is ways that the Holy Spirit makes us aware that He's with us. Or the way that the Holy Spirit does things through us. As opposed to thinking of these things as talents or skills. To me, this is very important. We're going to hammer this quite a bit here at the beginning. So I'm going to read it the way I would like it to be translated. "Now concerning expressions of the Holy Spirit, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." God does not want us to be ignorant about this topic. It's His will that we understand it. So we are on the right track looking into these things. "We know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." I want to stop for a minute. That may not make sense to you if this is the first time you're looking at that. I need to give a little bit of historical context to help this part make sense. Corinth was a city that was on a narrow strip of land in between two bodies of water. It was a major city for trade. There was a lot of transient traveling merchants, sailors coming through there. It was also one of the prime centers in the ancient world of a practice called temple prostitution. One of the ways they would worship their pagan gods was to go to the temple, and there would be prostitutes working there. So you have thousands of temple prostitutes combined with a constant flow of sailors and traveling merchants. And you can imagine what this city was like. It would be like Las Vegas, or if you think of somewhere seedy, that's what Corinth was. And it was just a wild environment. And Paul had come into this environment, to these Gentiles, pagans, and told them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God paid for his, that God sent his son to pay for their sins, that they could be saved. And they believed and got saved. And Paul spent some time there with them, and then he had to move on to his next place. And then he gets wind of some bizarre things going on here. And he writes this letter, and this letter is mostly correction for things that would make a lot of us blush. For example, in chapter 11, he had to correct them that it's not appropriate to get drunk on the communion wine. Here he's having to tell them it's not appropriate to say that Jesus is cursed. That gives you an idea of the spiritual maturity here. So that's the audience he's speaking to. It's interesting, though, that even though they are so immature in their character and their knowledge, that the power of God is still flowing in this place mightily. Okay? Which even the historical context and setting points out the fact that the operation of the Spirit is not a result of us doing everything right. I'm going to get more into that in a minute. But just keep that in mind as we read this. Verse 4. I need to bring up something else also. If you can hold your finger here, let's go back to chapter 3. And I'm going to read the first four verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul's in the middle of correcting them some already. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" I'm going to stop there. These, he's calling them spiritual babies, basically. Immature. And they cannot have, they're not ready for meat. They can only take milk right now. And part of the milk he's giving them is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is not an advanced topic, it's milk. It's supposed to be for the baby Christians. This is something that we should all be familiar with. It's not something that you have to spend your whole life aspiring to. It's something you open your eyes to right now. There are no hurdles to jump over. All right, so back to chapter 12. He says, there are, this is verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 12. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." I'm on verse 8 now. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one to each one individually as He wills. So that's going to be our text for most of the night. I'm going to come back to verse 4. There's two words I want to point out that I believe if you grasp these two words and how they relate to this topic, it takes you a long way into understanding how these things work and how you can begin to cooperate with God and see these happen, things happen around you. The first word I want to get to is in verse 4. He says there are diversities of gifts. Again, I know this is review for some people in here, but to me it's very important and we can't talk about it too much. I like to explain what this word means by building it up from the Greek. Now, if we take the Greek word charis or charis, has anybody heard of that word? What does it mean? How does it translate into English? Grace. What does grace mean? That's a huge question. Very important question.
Something that's unmerited.
Unmerited. One word that's used is unmerited favor. That's one definition. Anybody ever heard of any other definitions for grace?
Unearned.
Unearned. Unearned goodwill. So it's not just the fact that it's unearned or unmerited. It also includes that, but it also means good with it. Because there can be undeserved bad. This is undeserved good. So you could throw undeserved in here. So think about someone that deserves something bad, and if they were going to get what they deserve, they would get bad. But instead, they are given something very good that they do not deserve. Then that is what this word means. Grace means unmerited, undeserved goodwill or favor. I like to use this illustration because it makes it very clear. Think about you're driving in a car and you're speeding. You're going 20 miles over the speed limit. And a police officer pulls you over and comes up to the car. And you're guilty and you deserve to get a ticket. That's what you deserve. That's what you have earned. And he says, you know what? You can go. Now that's pretty awesome, right? That's called mercy. That's not called grace. You deserved bad and you didn't get it. Grace goes beyond that. So if we take that same idea, that same story, the police officer walks up to the car, you deserve a ticket, you're guilty, you did it. But instead of giving you a ticket, he says, you can go and here's $1,000. You do not deserve $1,000, you deserve a ticket. But instead of a ticket, you get $1,000. That's helping us understand what this word means. You know, in Ephesians it says, by grace you are saved. We do not deserve an eternal inheritance with God. Would anybody agree with that? But that's what we get. It is so far beyond anything we can imagine. In this way, God is not fair. That's not fair to us. That doesn't sound fair. Grace is not fair. We don't want fair, by the way. Let me just make that clear.
That's for sure.
We do not want fair.
No, Neil, but justice was carried out on Jesus.
Yes, yes. God is just, but He's not fair.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He didn't forget.
Yeah.
Justice was done.
Yep. So if we take charis, or charis, and we add an M-A on the end, you take this general concept of grace and you bring it down to a specific instance of it taking place. And the way this word is translated in English is usually gift. But when we think of gift, we don't get the full impact of what this word means, because the person doesn't deserve it if they're getting something good in place of the bad they deserve. So if I can just drill that into your thinking, that these gifts of the Spirit, there is no way to earn them.
I like to remember the word free.
Free. Free to us. If you take and make this plural in Greek by adding a TA on the end, you get charismata. And that is the word that's in the Greek in verse 4 in your Bible when it says there are diversities of gifts. It's this word, charismata. So the gifts of the Spirit are specific instances of the goodwill and favor of God that is not deserved or earned or merited by anyone in the chain. In fact, if you try to earn them, you make yourself ineligible. Because you're trying to buy something that's free. Imagine if you went to a grocery store and they said, all this gum is free, and all these people are taking their gum and walking out the front of the grocery store, and you don't like that, so you pick it up and you want to go pay, and there's nobody working at the register. You never get to leave with it, even though it's free. Likewise, if you feel like I have to be good in order to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you're taking yourself out of the game. Now, character is important, and sin is bad. I'm not saying that. But we can't confuse the gifts of the Spirit with rewards for good behavior, because they are not that. Because if they were, then we would never see them. Okay? No one has ever earned the right to be used by God. If it weren't for grace, it wouldn't be happening. Yes?
But perhaps because we think that way, that's why we don't see them as much as we should. Because we think we have to earn them, or we don't deserve them. And that's true, we don't. But we operate like we have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 He is not going to run out. Yeah, there's enough for everybody. That's a great point. That's part of what I'm trying to hit here. We've got to get out of this idea that God can't use me because I didn't read my Bible enough. Or God can't use me because I didn't pray enough, or because I was cut somebody off in traffic. I've got two. You want to say something and then you...
Let the lady go first.
Okay. Yeah.
About using him, and I said, well, how about a credit card? The next day on the radio, they said it's more like a debit card because God's already loaded it for you.
Great.
You just have to spend it.
That's great. Great. That's great.
Now, Corinth, at the time, as you said, that was a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't it? I mean, it
was bad.
It was
bad.
Isn't it also historically accurate to say that the Corinthians were very rich in spiritual gifts?
Yeah, it says that in chapter 1.
Yeah, I mean,
it says they come behind in no gift.
Yeah, they were loaded.
Yep.
So that proves.
Proves it.
I mean, even to the point of where one guy was actually sleeping with his stepmom.
Correct.
And it was so bad, Paul had to tell him, look, you got to deliver him over, man.
Right.
You got to excommunicate him for a little while. Because then Paul had to correct him and come back and say, look, the guy has repented. Now, let him back in. I mean, they were so messed up, but yet they were so, historically, they were so rich in the gift.
Right. And what wisdom of God to put the teaching on the gifts of the Spirit in the letter to the church at Corinth.
Yeah. That's the irony of
yeah.
God.
It's amazing wisdom.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
The teaching on the gifts of the Spirit are put in the letter to the worst church.
To the worst church.
Yes. As far as behavior,
the wisdom of God to put that
it's in. The wisdom of God to that he that's where he chose to place it in the
right.
Scriptures.
Right. Wow.
In the letter to the people who deserved it
wow.
the least.
Wow.
It wasn't in the letter to the advanced churches. Mm. It was in the letter to the people who didn't even know you're not supposed to get drunk at communion.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, it's a very powerful point. It should, I hope this is making you feel excited. Because what I'm trying to tell you is, you're already eligible. You just may not. Go ahead.
So you're saying these churches were flowing in the gifts, and they were sinning really, really, really bad.
Right.
They were Christians, but they were sinning really, really bad, but they were flowing in all the gifts. So there's not a requirement in that.
Right. There's not a behavior requirement to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, because they're gifts of the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you can't run yourself in the ditch by acting stupid. Okay? But that's going to harm you, not the people around you, probably. It says in chapter 13, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 are all in a row. And when Paul wrote the letter, he didn't divide it into chapters. And 1 Corinthians 13 is where it says, love is patient, love is kind, and the thing they read at weddings. But that chapter is talking about how to operate the gifts of the Spirit. Right?
It's between two chapters on spiritual gifts.
Right. And he says in that chapter, if I offer my body to be burned and I have all the stuff, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. But it still profits the people that are receiving. It doesn't mean the gift stopped. You see what I'm saying? You can operate in the gifts in a wrong motive. It's proved by the fact that he's having to correct their motive. He's telling them, you need to let love be your motive, not personal gain and one-upmanship. And so he's having to correct that, because they are operating the gifts of the Spirit in a wrong motive.
So at the beginning of class, I had this verse come into my head. Proverbs 3, and I had no idea what it was.
Okay.
And I read it. I read some of the verses, and some of them stuck out to me. And I kind of shut my Bible and have ignored it. And then you said something a minute ago that made me think of it again, and I feel like...
Okay.
All right, because you talked about wisdom.
Yep.
Proverbs 3:13. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields more better returns than gold. So I think that has to do with what you're talking about. Like, this is wisdom from God. And God used that with the Corinth. And what you're saying, like, God was so wise to do that,
mm-hmm.
because it applies so much to us.
Yes.
Because we are sinners and we don't deserve
to right.
be able to work in the gifts. But
exactly. Is that it?
That's
great. Thank you. Yes, I agree. Yes.
I just want to say, this is my first night in this class.
Yeah.
And the very first thing first of all, I have a Snicker bar on the way up here.
Good for you.
But when we were sitting here praying earlier, my prayer to God was for wisdom and knowledge.
Wow.
And for Him to open up my eyes and heart to receive anything and everything from this class to better understand. Because I'm one of those that if I sleep late or my clock goes off late or whatever, I'm the one saying, God, I'm so sorry I missed church.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's one of those things that I know that you can't earn your way. So
yeah.
For Him to say that, I mean, I wrote that down. First, I love the book of Proverbs, but I literally said, I pray for wisdom and knowledge in this class tonight.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Your scripture ball, your Proverbs, I'm thinking I'm in the right place.
Yeah. Yeah. We are never going to catch up to Him.
Wow.
You know how far ahead of us He is.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's fun, ain't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dogs running through, you got kids, but it doesn't get people spinning in the power of God. I mean, it's just crazy.
but it's on God. And to see how he's not in response, he's way, way out here. opens you up to thinking so differently about how God flows and how he moves, and it doesn't have to be all orderly, and it doesn't have to be a line over here and a line here, and let's move from the right to the left.
Yeah.
God's going to do what he wants to do, and that's exciting to experience.
Yeah. It does. Yes. Yeah.
But it's crazy. If we look at it from, you know, a different way. Wow.
Holding ground rocks.
When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was in Texas, and I had met this couple there, and we were all kind of, my husband and I and this couple were all kind of financially tough circumstances. And I went over to their house one night, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and so they offered to pray for me, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As I got to know them better, I started to realize that these were not people of integrity and character. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens sometimes, I operate in some of these gifts, mm-hmm. and then people assume that there's something real spiritual about me. My life is a mess in some areas just as much as anybody else's. And it got confusing to me when I looked at this couple, and they were doing things that I felt were dishonest. And yet, they were willing to be used.
Right.
And so it's not about, you know. So sometimes I'd have a word for somebody later as I learned to operate in the Spirit. And then they start to treat me like I'm the Oracle of Delphi.
Right.
You know? And that's a little scary.
It is. That's wrong. That is a misunderstanding of this, what we're talking about. Yeah.
Credibility. God's not evidently worried about his reputation with us. So I guess that's kind of the point of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Thank you for this, though. I love this.
Yeah. It's very powerful at knocking off hindrances. That's what I'm trying to do right here. Things that are going to make you think you can't do it, that's the whole reason I'm talking about this.
I wanted to bring up in Ephesians 3.
Can you speak up too?
Sure. Ephesians 3, verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in a rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which was carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wow.
So that's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It's Ephesians 3:10. Read it again, man. Let's just all think about that for a second, if you don't mind.
No. It's one of my favorite verses as well. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in a rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord.
I'm going to rephrase that. You can think about that verse the rest of your life. I'm just going to tell you. You can just meditate on that and it just keeps getting bigger. But the reason the church exists is for God to show the audience, the angels and demons, his wisdom. That's why we exist. Not so that we can make things and ask God to bless them, but so that we can show his wisdom. His wisdom to the audience. The audience is the angels and the demons.
So we really can't always see what's going on.
Right. And there's a reason for that. We are the ones that are on display for them to watch. This is heavy stuff right here.
Good.
Right?
Yeah,
that's good. Isn't that good?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm getting excited. This verse explained was someone went to see the Hope Diamond, and with all the different facets, because that's what that word says, when
multifaceted,
various forms, and they had a light shining through it, and it was just dazzling. So he takes us, who basically is a rock, an unformed diamond, is pretty ugly. But you put facets on it and then shine a light through it, and it's dazzling. and that's what he's done for us.
Are y'all excited?
Yeah.
I'm happy right now.
Wild.
Yeah.
Okay. Purposes, we've talked about the main purpose of the gift, but another purpose that I was asked one time, what's the difference between my religion and your religion? You know, you get that a lot.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm, I never was on drugs. I never did this or did that, says the Hindu person. Or when I was at rock bottom and I converted to Islam and Allah took away all of my desires for evil and so on, mm-hmm. such and such. What's the difference in between Christianity and any other religion? Okay. Well, I haven't seen any other religion use spiritual gifts and pray over someone and heal myositis, the disease that you had.
Yeah, fibromyalgia.
Yep. Curing cancer.
Yep.
I've not seen any other religion. And you'll get people, they'll say a little word for me, will you? And that's a, you know, speak a little magic, if you will. But when they get cured of cancer, or their kid is in jail and they get released, or
they find a coin that's worth $3,000 in their chest of drawers.
On death's door.
Yeah.
That to me is the human purpose. That's when the gift should shine.
That's God's goodness towards us who don't deserve it.
Right.
Yeah.
And to the unbeliever.
That is unlike any religion.
Right. And to the unbeliever, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. There's something going on here.
Yeah.
My wife had cancer. You prayed. Now she doesn't have. Can I speak to me? Where do you go to church at?
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. There's a famous quote by one of my favorite human beings ever, Reinhard Bonnke. He says, in other religions, man is seeking God.
Yeah.
But in Christianity, God is seeking man. I said, in all the other religions, it is man seeking God. But in Christianity, it's God seeking men. And I also want to say this. Christianity is not a religion. It's a kingdom. It's a government. With a king. Right? And the king says, this is how it is. And then that's how it is. And he said, I'm going to be graceful to you. Well, that's how it is. I'm not going to get off on that because we can spend a long time there. Yes, that will get me hollering. So we understand gifts. If you're a believer, you're eligible. How about this? Let's all say, I'm eligible.
I'm qualified.
In Jesus' name. And that's true, y'all. That's true. That's how it is. Did you have something you wanted to say?
I did. I have a thing that people, it's kind of like she was saying, that I'm content.
Can you speak up a little bit?
God.
Uh-huh.
And she's the mother of Riley, who we prayed.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so Riley's father has been absent for her whole entire life. After he left the situation when she was 7.5 months pregnant, she filed the papers and things like that, and now he's stepping forward, and he's supposedly a Christian now. So he's back in her life. I came back in just before he came back.
Okay. Yeah.
She's witnessed for me and my friend Stephanie in Colorado. And now he's coming in saying he's a Christian and he's doing the thing. Like, I feel like we're in the middle of a warfare, literally. And God, and I'm like, she's like, this is why I don't think, you know, he thinks he's a Christian and he thinks that God's going to forgive him and yada yada. And I'm like, give me, you know, God, please give me the right words to say to everybody if you can pray. Because I'm in spiritual warfare.
Okay.
I'm in the center of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then people turn around and text her something really horrible. So, you know, whatever's going on, I said, now you got to remember, I said, Satan knows the Bible just as well as the Lord. I said, it could be, his background is in military.
Okay.
That's what he's got.
So you're asking for us to pray for wisdom for you. And I want to tell you that in James 1, God tells us specifically that if any one of his children asks for wisdom, then he always says yes.
So
well, he's going to give it. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to pray for you real quick, okay? What's her name? What's your first name?
Pam.
Okay. Can I come over there and put my hand on your shoulder? Okay.
Because I feel like, you know, she's going to choose, and I'm really worried what's going to happen to her. Like,
okay.
I'm kind of worried that she may do something to herself.
Okay, so we don't need to worry.
Right.
Okay. Lord, I thank you for putting her there at the right place at the right time. Father, I thank you. You promised that if we ask you for wisdom, you're going to give it. So we ask you, Lord, for wisdom, and that she's going to receive it, and she's going to know how to think about this and know what to say and what to do or what not to say. I also pray for wisdom for her friend. What was her name again?
Pam.
For Pam. Father, I pray for your wisdom for Pam, that she can see what's right and what's wrong, Lord. We just pray your light to shine in the situation. And we pray for the man also, Lord. I pray just liberty for him from anything that's got him bound up. In Jesus' name. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you all. Isn't it good to know that when you need wisdom, God's not like, what? He's like, yes. I want to also tell you that wisdom is to think like God. That's what wisdom means. To look at it how God would look at it. He is wisdom. So the more godly our thinking is, the more wise we are. All right. I just read verse 4. We're going to read verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, you notice that he has diversities and differences and diversities and differences in here. What that's telling us is that these things, even though they're all from God, they're going to look different based on who they're coming through. Not the same gift can look totally different coming through one person as opposed to another person. She's thinking about Snickers. All right. Now here's the other. I told you there was two words I want us to have a grasp on. The first one is grace or gifts, charismata. That's gifts. The second one is this word in verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I want to talk about the word manifestation. And specifically manifestation of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. What does manifestation mean? What does it mean if something manifests? You can see it. See it, experience it. See, experience. What else? Someone perceive. The definition I always like is to become detectable to your senses. Your physical, mental, your see, hear, taste, smell, feel, know. Somehow, if something's manifesting to you, it's becoming tangible to you in some way. Now, this tells us that the gifts of the Spirit are all manifestations of the Holy Spirit. When the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, what we are seeing is the Holy Spirit making Himself detectable to our senses, making Himself manifest to us so that we can see, experience, perceive. It's not someone doing a skill. It is the Holy Spirit doing something, and we're getting to experience Him in a way that's tangible. A proper understanding of this, just like with the word gifts that we looked at, can save you from a lot of confusion. If we see someone stand up and say, someone's got something wrong with their elbow, and someone says yes, and then we pray and they get healed, that means the Holy Spirit just let us experience Him. It doesn't mean the person needs to be, we need to be in idolatry towards the person who's operating in the gifts. Because that person does not deserve it. And it's not a manifestation of that person's skill set. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So when we see the supernatural in operation, our focus is not on the people, it's on God who's coming here, and we're getting to enjoy His presence in a way that's awesome. So the gifts of the Spirit happen when the Holy Spirit makes Himself known to us somehow. Like I believe a few minutes ago when we were talking about wisdom and you had the Bible verse and you spoke up, he's letting us know He's in here and doing stuff. And we're all amazed because He's awesome.
And I don't have any skills with the Bible other than
this. Right. Yeah, the point is not that, wow, man, you're so good at the Bible. The point is, Holy Spirit, you're awesome. Yeah. 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 Right? Our focus is on Him, not on who's doing the stuff. Right? Anybody have questions on that word? Is that clear to everybody? This is, to me, this is very important. It helps eliminate a lot of confusion. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'll. So we read 9 gifts. We're going to talk about some of them. But what I want you to know is the one that operates those is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And so all 9 gifts are inside of you all the time and can come out anytime. So there's been a lot of confusion on this topic over the years that somebody has this gift and that's their gift. We all have all 9 because we have the Holy Spirit. And He can bring anyone out anytime He wants to. And so you may operate in one of them more often, but that doesn't mean it's yours that you have it. Because it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you have.
Do you think it's the wording that's confusing? Like 2-1, He gives us 2-1. That can be confusing?
It's confusing if you don't understand this. Yeah. If you don't understand that it's a manifestation. Because you think of it, He gives you a skill. And that's something that you use like you want to. It's better to think of it like a firecracker. And He gives you and you use it and then it's done and you don't use that again. You don't reuse the firecracker. It's not something you walk around with that same firecracker all the time.
Yeah, that's really good. Because it's not like one. It's one in an instant.
Yes. So in here tonight, to one He will give something somewhere in the Bible and somewhere He gives someone else something else. But that doesn't mean He has to expect to do that all the time. And there's no pressure on Him to do that. He didn't come up with that idea. You were going to say something. I just had to finish mine.
I was just going to say...
And can you speak up?
Sure. Many times we get taught it's almost like a tool you're given that you use it.
Yeah.
So you're a firecracker example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not a tool. It's not a skill. Right. It's nothing. You can't just say, I'm going to go prophesy. God is the one that makes that happen when it's supposed to happen.
Yes.
Right.
And you saying it's no skill of a person, it's the Holy Spirit. Well, that's why we don't see other religions.
Right.
He doing the same thing. You know, because they don't have the Holy Spirit living in them.
Right. And we
not
do.
Us. It's not humans.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural thing. And we aren't supernatural. We're only get to operate in that because we have
Him in, yes. I want to draw a diagram that kind of helps explain how this works. Now, this is how all nine of these gifts work. We have the Holy Spirit and you, and then over here I'm going to say a person or people. That's what this represents over here, this cloud. Okay? And what's going on when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation is that the Holy Spirit, now I had to draw, he's really inside of you, but my diagram doesn't work if I draw it that way. He wants to do something for those people or that person. So he gives you something that you don't normally have and gives you the privilege of giving it to them on his behalf. Like a Snickers. Yeah, that's what she keeps thinking about. So this turns the person operating the gift. They are not the skilled person that we admire. They are a delivery service. It takes the focus off the person. When the gift is exercised, a proper response is to thank God, rather than being idolatry towards the person. Yes?
I've heard the example where when the postman brings you a check from your father-in-law or something,
right,
you don't say, thank you, Mr. Postman.
Yeah.
You say, thank you
to your... Yes, that's great. Did everybody hear that? That's a very good analogy.
Well,
yeah.
I think it builds relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come to me and say, your sister said this about you, my brother. And then other people build relationships by repeating positive.
Yes.
I think what the Holy Spirit's doing is, because he could go directly to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he does.
Yeah.
But I think he builds relationships between us by giving, if I have a gift for you, that kind of builds something.
Yep. Yeah. Now, sometimes the language I use, I'm trying to make a point, and if I need to restate what I said, okay? Because I don't want there to be confusion. It's okay to thank the person because they had to work up enough courage to come do that probably. Right. They were probably just as nervous as you would be. Okay? I'm not saying we don't thank them. What I'm saying is we have to know who it's coming from. It's not wishful thinking.
We need to give credit.
Credit where credit is due. Thank you for being bold enough to come say that, and thank you, God, for that message. Okay? Something like that. I apologize for not stating that more clearly a minute ago. Yes?
Actually, that's one of the first rebukes that Paul had to the church of Corinth, is because it had so many divisions that were almost like an idolatrous relationship. He said, some of you say I'm of Cephas.
Right.
Some of you say I'm of Apollos. Some of you say I'm of Christ.
Right.
That's the first thing he had to attack. He had to say, look, there's divisions among you. You've got to kill that first before I talk to you.
And they were interested in whoever did the stuff. That's who they wanted to rank the highest.
Right.
And he has to come back and give the example of the body, like, yeah, you have an eye, but what if you don't have your feet? Like, why, you know, like, you can't be putting the honor on the people the way that you're doing it. That causes problems. Okay. So, let's read through the nine gifts again. I'm running out of time. I'm going to group them into three groups of three. This is the way that helped me understand this the most. In one group, we have the knowing or the revelatory gifts. This is where you get some information that you don't normally have. That doesn't come through study or experience or logic or reasoning, it comes from the Holy Spirit. These are the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. This is not just wisdom, it's the word of wisdom. and discerning of spirits. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on the word of knowledge than the others, because if you understand that one, it helps all the other ones make more sense. The word of knowledge can be defined as a mustard seed of God's knowledge. There's something that God knows, and He tells you what it is in a way that makes sense to you, and then you deliver that to whom it's for. So if you're ever here on a Sunday and Brian says someone's got something wrong with their ear, you ever heard him do that? Or something? Or anybody been in an environment where that's going on? That means the Holy Spirit told Brian somehow that somebody's got something wrong somewhere. And so he gets up and says that. And so that the person in the crowd is actually hearing that the Holy Spirit knows about them. This is not because Brian's trying to dream this up. It's because the Holy Spirit told him to say that. Does that make sense to everybody? Knowledge usually means it's like a fact. It's already in existence. Okay? The word of wisdom, if you think of it, it's a mustard seed of God's wisdom. Wisdom is usually concerned with making the right decision or knowing how things are going to work out. And that way it can mean insight into His plan or purpose. A lot of times it's future based. A lot of times where knowledge is informative, the wisdom will be instructive. So knowledge, or the word of knowledge, would make you aware of something that already is. The word of wisdom might have you go do something or tell you, you know what, that job, you need to take that job offer. Something like that. Yes. When Jesus told the blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam after he put mud in his eyes, or when the prophet told Naaman to go wash in the Jordan 7 times, that's the one Teresa was bringing up. This is how Teresa got healed from fibromyalgia, because the man praying for her got a word of wisdom in which he saw her touching the mailboxes in his neighborhood. He told her to go walk to them, even though she couldn't walk. And she walked and touched them and came back and was healed because of a word of wisdom. Yes, hallelujah for that one. Discerning of spirits is, and I still don't have a good definition for this, so I may stumble in my wording here. But this is an ability to see or know what's going on in the spirit realm, or know the source of something that's happening. Like something might be going on and you will know that it's from God, or you will know that it's not from God. And sometimes, this is not a popular definition, but I believe this way, but I may be wrong. But also sometimes when I'm talking to someone, I can read their character or something like that. Like when Nathaniel came up to Jesus and Jesus said, "Here's a man in whom there's no guile." Like he knew his spirit or whatever, however you want to say that right there. Discerning of spirits. Now, this is not the gift of gossiping about people or being judgmental. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God giving you information. Did you have something you were going to say there?
Yeah. One of the ways that I've seen the discerning of spirits is we were in a conference and there was different manifestations going on. Mm-hmm. And on this side, looked as similar as this side, but the ushers came to the person over there and ministered deliverance.
Okay. This is a very valuable thing to have in your assembly going on. Okay, those are the revelatory.
And also, you may be praying with someone for healing, and the Lord may say, maybe there's a spirit of fear causing the sickness,
And so you can command, that's how you can have discerning of spirits there. And mm-hmm. you command the spirit of fear to go. We've seen that where the people will get healed. So it's actually a spirit of fear, or a spirit of, or even a spirit of arthritis. Like there can be a, you know, a demon causing the actual sickness. So that's really helpful.
Questions on those? I know we're being very general, but so the next one, the next group of three are the faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. Those are called the power gifts or the doing gifts, where you're doing something. I believe that working of miracles and gifts of healings are pretty self-explanatory, but sometimes faith is confusing. The gift of faith is, because we all have faith, because that's how you get saved. This is a mustard seed of God's faith, or the way God, when God says something, he's not worried about whether it's going to happen. Like when he said, let there be light, he wasn't saying, I hope it happens or I'll be embarrassed in front of the angels. Right? When he said it, it's going to happen. Like he knows it. And there will be times where that gets put on you temporarily. And you do things you don't normally do. And then later on, you know it was the gift of faith because a couple hours later, you're like, I can't believe I did that. What was I thinking?
Or you say something that just, you didn't, I mean, you realized afterwards you said it.
Yeah.
But, and it was, and there was power behind
it. Yes. So it's the God's faith, or faith the way God operates it, put on you temporarily. And it causes you to do something or say something. And then we know what working of miracles and gifts of healings are. The last three are the speaking or the saying. These are gifts where you say something. This is prophecy, diversities of tongues, interpretation of tongues.
Can I ask you a question about
yes.
the gift of healing?
Yes.
Now, if that's a gift that only can come from God,
yes.
then, but on the other hand, it says everybody can pray for the healing
yes.
hands on somebody.
Yes.
So, is it that conflict?
No, that's not conflict. That lets me know he really likes giving that one out. Yeah. Every time anyone ever got healed in the Bible or in our anywhere, the Holy Spirit healed their body. And it was always a gift. It was never deserved.
Okay.
And so if I'm laying hands on someone and they get healed, the Holy Spirit just manifested himself and fixed their body.
Back in 2012, I was at a friend's church in California. I was in a friend's church in California, and there was a lady that came in, was on crutches, where she had the cuffs. And I asked my friend, I said, what's wrong? She said, well, she's always had one leg shorter from birth.
Mm-hmm.
And they had her in a chair, and she was stretched out, and you could see mm-hmm. it, literally see it. And there was a special guy that I don't remember his name, and he was praying over mm-hmm. her. And it was kind of freaky. I saw her leg grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just... It was amazing.
Yeah.
It put goosebumps all over me because mm-hmm. I couldn't believe what I was actually mm-hmm. seeing. And it was just, and she got up and threw her canes away and walked away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just, it was so awesome. But, you know, it was kind of freaky because
yeah.
I've never seen
yeah.
like that before. And it was great. Though.
So,
and,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Can I describe the gifts of healing this way? The God can give the gift of healing through anybody. But some people, they say he's more gifted. He has a gift of healing versus...
I don't like to use the phrase, he has the gift of healing.
I guess my explanation is God has to release the power through us. So he got things ready, but it's up to us to turn on that switch.
Yes.
So
that's how all of these work, yes.
Right. So if somebody, they say, I mean, just common, they say he's more...
God gave the healing. It's just he has figured out a way to turn that switch off, to be connected to the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to
understand. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So there is a little bit of gray area here when trying, because Jesus gave people authority to heal the sick.
Right, see, that's the thing.
Right. So there, but none of that happens unless the Holy Spirit is backing it up.
Release the power.
Right. So there's some measure of authority that he's given us in the area of healing where we have the privilege. If he told us to do it, then we know that he wants us to be doing it. And every time he ever sent anyone out, he always told them to go heal the sick. Yeah, including Judas.
I might be wrong, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but is it maybe to clarify that somebody prays healing over someone, and they see the healing, and that grows more faith in them because not only did they step out to pray the healing, but they saw someone healed. Therefore, they step out in faith more in that praying for someone for healing. So the human mind says they're gifted in healing. That's not what the Bible necessarily says, but that's what humans say about somebody.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone has that ability, it's just that maybe other people haven't stepped out to pray healing, therefore they might not have the same faith that it could happen through them.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe
it. Even though they still have the equal gift of healing, they haven't stepped out.
I guess my concern is more what Neil was saying is basically, you know, what I learned is we have the authority. God already gave the, Jesus already done his part.
Yes.
So it's up to us to utilize his authority to heal the sickness, to deliver, to cast the demons.
Yes, so that is right.
So what I'm trying to say is I'm saying, oh, okay, this is great news for me. I have the control, right? So now I want to heal the disease and cast the demons.
Yes.
I don't need that gift, right? I have the authority.
Think of it like this. When you use your authority, he backs it up with the gift. How's that? That way you don't earn it, and it's not based on how good you are.
But you are. Use Jesus' name, release the
you still have to. Yeah.
But I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, okay, if I do what it says, then it should work. But why do certain people work all the time, most times, why?
We can probably spend many hours discussing that. Okay. So, but it's good to be, the questions that you're asking show me that you are heading in the right direction quickly.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. So we all have to struggle through working through these things. And if you're not asking these questions, then I know that you're not even going for it. Okay? You're asking these questions because you're working, you're going for it. So we are all learning. And it's all, you get experience and you get more used to how God's voice sounds and what different things mean. And there's no way to like skip ahead. You have to learn. Yeah, it's a process. But I love your attitude. And I love your, you're doing really good. So, yeah.
I'm not sure how all this fits in, but I've been having some pain in my foot. And we're sitting here and the Buddha says, is it bad? And I said, well, it just bothers me when I move it some. She said, well, I haven't prayed for it yet. So I'm sitting here thinking, well, I'm going to pray for it. It's gone.
Yeah.
Well, that fits into all we're talking
about.
Maybe we should do a little lab
work.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yay.
You have lab.
We do. We're going to have lab.
Neil, to drive those points home to her, I actually witnessed a healing one time where a young man who had never been taught this before in his life was asked to come and lay hands on a person and to pray. And he had no idea of what he was doing. All he was just told to do was to pray for this person.
Mm-hmm.
This person got healed. And God was using this individual as a tool. And he had no idea what was going on. He was just told, the pastor told him to lay his hands and pray.
Yeah. I totally believe that. Because someone in that state is not struggling with whether they're worthy or not.
That's right.
Right? That's a big issue. I'm serious. That's why I spent so much time on that. Right, you can't go there. That's a road you don't want to drive down.
Yeah, sorry, one more thing.
Yeah.
So let's say, for instance, this is the one thing I struggle with is that you might have in your body physical issues, right?
Right.
Sicknesses, whatever the case
yes.
may be. And often you feel like you're not worthy to pray for somebody else's healing because you yourself are not experiencing it.
Right.
And so this is just to prove that you're not qualified.
Right.
It is mere, it's just
correct.
By the Spirit
yes.
that is doing this. Whether you're sick or not, you can still lay hands on somebody else for healing.
Absolutely.
Because it's the grace and the goodness of God.
Correct.
Your ability or your right. fact that you healed or not healed. Right.
Right. In fact, if you go study the first healing in the Bible, as Abraham prayed for Abimelech, I think in Genesis 20, chapter 20 or something like that. Look at when Abraham prayed for Abimelech and all the women there that were barren were able to have kids. And when Abraham prayed for them, Sarah was still barren. Okay? Which is proof of what you're saying. You don't have to wait until you're 100% health before you can pray for other people. Okay? That's a great point. Yes?
I just want to share this real quickly because this is all new to me and speaking your life and just the healing. My friend Lene is sitting right here. About, I guess it was a month ago, I was suffering from a headache for like 4 days or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because this is really bothering me. So she, you know, sent me back a text, and she prayed through the text. And as I sat there, and the doctor's office was breathing, she was speaking it. She was, you know,
yeah.
commanding the blood vessels
right.
to go back to
right.
She was commanding this.
Yes.
Back. So what I started doing, because I felt, I mean, I was just saying, God, you know, please do this.
Right.
I sat in that doctor's office in the waiting area, and when I got to the room, and I kept reading over her text, and I started praying in that way, and I said, you know, I command this.
Right.
I say this in the name of Jesus, and I tell you, woo, before that doctor got in there, before that doctor walked in there, that headache was gone.
Yeah.
It was gone.
Yeah.
I said, her, I tell you this, I said, you're unbelievable. This headache
yeah.
was gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had nothing to tell it, but I was just, I mean, excited. So Sarah was like, so I started praying it the way you were saying it, and so I started speaking it, and it was just gone, just absolutely gone. And I just thought, so now when I pray, I speak.
Yes.
I speak my prayer.
That's right. So, and the way we think about it is we're not, when we pray this way, we're copying our rabbi, our master. Mm. And that's the way he did it. And that's the way the people he trained did it. That's the way Peter prayed when it was for healing. And it wasn't that they were telling God to do something. They were telling that problem that it better obey God and get off of his children. And so you're enforcing God's will, and the Holy Spirit is there to back it up. You're saying what God wants to happen, which is no headaches on his daughter. And the Holy Spirit is confirming that by providing the power to make it work.
Hallelujah.
Yes, that is very exciting.
So Neil,
yes.
The healing, I suppose the other thing that I struggle with is, so healing can be instant.
Yes.
And then it can be processed.
Yes.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
I mean, obviously we want instant.
There's an example in Mark 8, if you want to read it, around verse 24, where Jesus had to pray for a guy twice. The first time he prayed for him, his eyesight returned some, and then he prayed for him again, and it was totally well. He ministered to him, and he said, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see men like trees walking." And then he did it again, and he saw clearly. Jesus had to do it twice.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose the
sometimes
is to hang in there.
Hang in there.
It takes.
Yes.
Because our time is like, oh, it's been 3 weeks or it's been a month
right.
or 2 months. But God doesn't work in the time.
So there's different ways to talk about that. Here's my view. Sickness is not coming on my body uncontested. And if you're staying on me, then you're going to keep getting a fight until you're gone.
Right.
And I'm not going to stop.
Right.
right? If you're going to find somebody else to pick on, because it's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to be the low-hanging fruit. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
We had to look at it like that because of some things we've gone through. Because
right.
If we gave up, there's no help for what she had.
Sure. There was, yeah.
There was no way out.
Right.
And so we had to get down and say, even if, no matter how long it takes, we are not staying in this.
And there was the 4-year period?
So there was 4 years of being sick, and then she gets healed that one night.
Boom.
And I had never seen healing before.
But
never.
You've been pressing in for 4 years.
We had been fumbling our way in the dark for 4 years. Okay? And then that night we found out that sometimes when someone gets healed, the enemy tries to come back later and put the thing back on them to get them to doubt that they were healed the first time.
Yeah.
And then they receive that back on themselves and they say, well, I guess it wasn't real. I guess it was all in my head.
Mm.
And so that started happening to Teresa. And sometimes we would say no, and it would go away like right that. But sometimes we would have to...
really fight.
Even when I would be hanging on by one fingernail, we were still not giving in. We were not going back in that wheelchair.
So this is encouraging because you don't hear this kind of stuff. You know, you think it's just boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Every time.
It's war.
It's war.
Healing is war.
That's good. Yeah.
And our weapons are to overpower the kingdom. Their weapons are sickness and fear and worry and depression and anxiety and all that darkness. And our weapons are life and the good news of the gospel that God loves you and wants to heal your body. And that Jesus paid for your healing by getting beaten. And so we are to rise up and say, who do you think you're messing with? You came to the wrong house. Because even if I don't know what I'm shooting at, I'm still shooting, I'm still swinging.
Absolutely.
And I'm not giving up.
Right.
I'm not going to be the one that gives up.
Right.
You are going
to
leave. You're going to leave now or you're going to leave later, but you're going to leave.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's real.
I've had a disease for 47 years and been through a lot with it. And I've been praying a lot and had a lot of prayers.
Yeah.
And I go to the doctor about every 3 months. Now I'm up to 6 months.
So good.
There is improvement.
There is improvement, yes.
And I'm stubborn enough, I don't give in.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And trusting God, but you're going to have to kind of fight.
You do have. Sometimes it's a fight.
Can I say something?
Yes.
That I just learned from Andrew? He said sometimes you have to really get angry to say that. Basically, he said most of the healing he experienced are slow progress, especially for the cancer patient. And somehow you have to really get angry to change it, not just passively accepting it or expect other people just to pray of it and have it. He said he had, in 1 year, he had 4 ladies, all with terminal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital all sent them home, basically say within months,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be dead.
Yeah.
Point of pleading. So those 4 ladies went to him. And basically he told them, he prayed for them. He said, well, you have to fight fiercely. You have to get angry. Demand Satan to go, demand cancer cells to die.
Right.
So one lady said, well, I just can't get angry. It's just not me. I can't do it. So as a result, she died within a few months. Versus the other 3 ladies was really fighting, really get, you know, stern. And after 4 years, you know, the time when he was giving the teaching, they were still living well. So
that has been our experience.
Right.
Okay.
You have to get feels.
You have to decide that you're not going to give up.
Right.
And because of the situation we were in, giving up, we were not going back where we were.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Right. But I had enough to know that there's something out there that I don't have to put up with this anymore.
Right.
Even if I don't know how to do it, I know I don't have to put up with this.
Yeah.
There is something that we can do about it. Yeah. Our Father did not call us here to be punching bags. I'm getting kind of fired up about that.
That's real. That's fantastic.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real. That's where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes it's just like that, and sometimes you have to hang on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
The last 3 gifts are where you say something. They're called the speaking gifts. I'm going to define these quickly just so that we can close this off. You can define prophecy as to speak under divine influence. And what you're saying may be future, past, something else. But the important part is it's God inspired. And that God's power is on the words that you're saying.
Whatever you prophesy will never, ever contradict God's word.
Right. God will not contradict himself. Because prophecy is coming from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scripture.
Right. We're told to first test the Spirit.
Yeah. So prophecy would be saying what God wants to be said right now. It doesn't talk about the content of what's being said. It's more important to know that it's what God wants to say, and His power is on the words that are coming out. Diversities of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So I think everybody understands this, but the way this works is the Holy Spirit will move on you to use your prayer language in a way that you don't normally do it. Okay? For some purpose, to bless someone else. And then He may, depending on what He's doing, He may tell you or someone else what's being said when you do that.
I actually experienced that when you was praying for somebody at one time. You said you were going to pray in tongues, and I'm like, when's he going to start praying in tongues?
Yeah. That was weird, man. Yeah. Because you heard me in English.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, that is the church 2 weeks.
Yeah, it happened in church 2 weeks ago. Yep. Now again, this is not a skill set. This is the Holy Spirit wanted to talk to us. And He could choose to do it through prophecy, or He could choose to do it by having someone pray in the Spirit and have someone else interpret what was said. And to me, the proper response there is to imagine, who are we that God is talking to us right now? Like, think about it like that rather than thinking about the people that are doing it. Okay. Any last questions? I want to say two last things, and then I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to have ministry time for whoever wants to. I drew these up here. They're kind of like a grid. If you're analytical like me, you like to fit things into boxes. But the gifts of the Spirit are not like that. Instead of thinking them like a waffle, where everything has its own compartment, think of it more like a rainbow, where sometimes you can't tell where one color ends and the next one begins. Because sometimes when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, it may be a combination of one or more of them together at the same time, or three of them. The important part is not identifying what it is, as that's not as important as identifying what God's doing. What's the effect that He wants to produce when He's manifesting Himself like this? So I'm going to give a couple of examples in the Bible and see if you guys can, what are your thoughts on which one of these gifts it is? Okay? So let's think about Jesus with the woman at the well when he said, "Go get your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "That's right. You've had five husbands. And the one you're living with now is not your husband." What is that?
Word of knowledge,
probably. Yes. Very good.
Brought on by discernment of spirits.
Possibly.
You're talking about the melding of the two?
Yeah, that's very well. It very well could be. Now, when I ask these questions, I'm not saying there's a right answer. I just want us to think about this. Yes.
And it could have been preempted by a word of wisdom telling Jesus to go to that well
at midday, which is
Right, in an improper time.
Yeah. Yeah. What about when, this is kind of a trick question, what about when Isaiah is writing in chapter 53 about Jesus is going to be, he's going to carry our sicknesses and diseases. By his wounds we are healed.
Prophecy.
Because it's a word of wisdom. It is prophecy, but it's also a word of wisdom because it's insight into God's plan. Right? The book of Revelation is a big word of wisdom. It's God's wisdom. It's like how he's planning things out. And it can come out in prophecy.
Yeah, Isaiah was writing, and he was saying he was wounded for our transgression. Who is he? Isaiah was just writing.
Well, Isaiah is probably wondering, what the heck am I talking about here?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What about when Jesus told them to throw their net on the other side of the boat?
Miracle.
Working of miracles?
Word of wisdom.
All three? Right? This is a fun exercise to do. So when you're reading the Bible and something supernatural happens, it's always the Holy Spirit doing that if it's from God. And so you can play this game. I wonder which one that was. It gets you thinking about it. Okay. It's almost 9. If you have kids in the thing and you have to go, I'm sorry, we ran a little bit over. We had so many good questions tonight. But I'm going to pray for us as a group, and then I'm going to invite anyone who needs prayer, or if you're willing to help us pray, we always stay around and minister to anyone that needs it. And it doesn't have to be healing, it can be anything, okay? So let me just take a moment and pray for us. Lord, I thank you for opportunities to talk about subjects like this. I thank you for all these good questions, Lord. It just shows me what good soil we have in this room, that people are wanting to know, Lord. And Lord, I know that you always meet that. So may your word be like seed that finds the good soil and produces fruit, return 100-fold in each one in here. Lord, we talk about these things in preparation to see these things. So Lord, I pray that you work, as we learn how to cooperate with you in these, that you work your wisdom in us, the right way to handle ourselves, the right way to handle other people. That we continue to have grace for one another as we take chances. We invite you to just continually just manifest yourself among us. We love you, Lord. I love what you did tonight with the wisdom and the Proverbs and all that stuff, Lord. We love it, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love hanging around with you, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to wait for a second right here. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to say something or do something right now. I'm just going to give us a minute. Now, the interpretation of that has come to someone. If you haven't done this before, it comes like a thought where you just have a thought. You just know what she said. If you're nervous to speak up, I just pray for courage. You may only have part of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to give us a few more minutes. Sometimes you can tell us the Lord if it's He just interrupts your thoughts and puts something in there and you're wondering, why am I thinking about this? That's a good way to recognize when it's Him. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I have this picture of us with rubber gloves on, like the gloves you put on when you're working in the health care industry, I suppose. And in one of the hands is a toothbrush for fine cleaning. And I just feel like the Lord saying, get ready. Put on the gloves and get ready to be able to do some fine cleaning in our lives and other people's lives.
just a tuning and a cleaning and a bringing, a refreshing.
Thank you, Lord.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for healing us spiritually.
Thank you, Lord.
Cleaning is that God wants to do some preventative work.
That's good.
In our lives.
Okay.
To clean out stuff so that it doesn't affect us down the road.
Okay.
That's good.
Just a few more minutes.
Prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. I just keep hearing the words bigger, bigger. My kingdom is bigger than anything you know or can imagine. Bigger, bigger. You don't judge me by your days, by what you see. Look to me, bigger, bigger. There's bigger coming, there's bigger.
Thank
so
you.
Expansion, kingdom expansion
Thank
is coming in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Lord.
Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Yes, Lord, thank you.
No matter how you slice it, it still comes out for you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Father, thank you for speaking to us. We honor you, Lord. We treasure you, Lord. I thank you that you love us, Lord. I thank you that you paid for our healing and that you gave us authority over sickness and all demons. So I take that authority right now in the name of Jesus. I come against any spirit of infirmity affecting anyone in here, causing sickness in their body. I command you to take your hands off of them. In Jesus' name, we set the people free from any spirit of infirmity, any spirit of sickness, harassing any of God's children right now. We just break your power in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are present to heal. And as we take steps of faith here in a few moments, Father, we just fully believe you to show us your power. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Someone got a problem with your side or your hip. If you don't want to speak up now, you can just come talk to the gentleman afterwards. Is that anybody? There's two? Okay. Do you want to? Okay.